Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And good Saturday morning and welcome to a live edition of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
What do you know?
I'm telling you, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. So glad to have you with us this morning. I am Randy Bergen, and the Fat Pack is back.
You are so right.
That's right.
We're fat. We're more than two. That's a pack. And we're back. So there you go. You got it.
He's been working on that all week.
I had to write that one out.
That's good.
Oh, my goodness. Man, it is good to have y'all, see y'all again. It's been a little while since we've all been together.
Well, it has, Randy. And the one thing about it, there ain't three offensive linemen in here. There's only two. And there's a secondary guy that's came back pedaling.
Right, just call me a fullback.
It's so good to be here. Isn't it fun to be here at Eastern Shore Hyundai and in the Genesis room and to get kind of kicking the season off, getting ready for 10 straight
weeks. Here,
man. It is here.
It is here.
Mark Glaster, it is good to see you. How you been, my man? I know y'all have been getting ready for some football over at Bayside.
Yes, it's been I have sweated a lot in the last week.
Look like you lost a little weight.
I think I have. All water. I can't drink enough water. It's been good. Football season is on us. We started back. Our fall camp started Monday. And the rule is, in the state, now if you don't do a – formal spring training, then you can start 1 week earlier in the fall. Like normally the first day of football practice for ages has been the first Monday of August forever. But now if you don't do spring training, then you can actually start the week before and go through it. And that's what we've done at Bayside. We're full tilt. Had a little scrimmage yesterday, so kind of seeing what we got is a lot of fun. Kids are fighting through it, and there's a lot of other schools full tilting right now as well.
Oh, I know. Everybody's getting ready, no doubt about it. The fans are getting ready. I mean, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on fans don't see. And it's really a great time of the year, no
it
doubt.
Really
just
is.
Hope it kind of cools off a little bit.
Just
because,
little.
As you mentioned, it is very, very
still
hot.
Not as hot as 2022.
Oh, yeah.
I think 2022 or 2023, one of those right in there. I remember it was Coach Trotter's first year. May have been the hottest summer I can remember, but this one's pretty hot. It's no joke.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? 2022 was hotter than this.
Yeah,
I didn't see.
There were days we'd go out there, and now I will say this week we went out with our middle school kids one night. I think it was Tuesday night at 5 o'clock, and the heat index was still 102.
No.
But like last night or late yesterday afternoon, you had a nice wind that came through. Cooled off a little bit.
It really
felt good. No doubt about it. Hey, got a great show lined up for you. Coming up in our next segment, we'll talk a little Yellow Jacket football. We do that with Coach David Faulkner, the head football coach for McGill Toulon.
Yeah, and Randy, we want to be cognizant and really share about the Will Glass losing Will this past week, an outstanding baseball player. Our thoughts and prayers go out to that entire McGill Toulon family. And, Tim Becker, I didn't get to talk to Tim. I don't think he was talking to anybody. I think the baseball coach at McGill, I'm telling you, he said, he sent me a text that, Rick, this is really a tough one. This kid was just like a son to me. And, guys, when you do what we do in our business, when you lose one, it takes a long, long time to get over it. And so we just pray for that family, and that's going to be a tough one. And I know David and I, we'll talk about that a little bit with David. But, yeah, Randy, thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah, yeah. And then at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk a little UMS Wright football. First-year head football coach Sam Weave steps in to replace the great Terry Curtis.
Yeah.
And that's going to be some shoes to fill right there.
Well, and the beautiful thing about this, and Mark, you and Randy can understand this, Sam's doing it his way. He's doing it his way, and he's not trying to replace Terry. That's not his job. He doesn't feel like My job is to come in and be myself and to do the very best I can do.
I like that.
To keep this program going in the same direction that it's always gone for the last 20-plus years with Terry. So, you know, he can't – nobody can replace Terry. Terry does it his own way, and it's just
– That's right. And you know, and that's quite a conundrum if you start thinking about head coaches. I remember Coach Sav – when I was a young coach, and I was, you know, I wanted to be a head coach, and he told me, he says, you know, if you're going to be a head coach, your first couple of ones, you want to find a place that's got nowhere to really go but up.
Yeah.
You know, programs that are struggling.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I did in most of the jobs I was in, you know, was go to a school that was having problems in whatever shape or form they may be and try to build it. And that's what I kind of did. But then I did go to Unto Alma Bryant. After Rush had gone undefeated, that was a little different. So then I get a call from Tony Franklin, you know, former offensive coordinator at Troy and Middle Tennessee State and Auburn.
Yeah.
And Tony and I are talking, and he says, will you please come speak at our clinic in Nashville? And I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. What would you like me to speak on? And he says, I want you to tell the coaches – the difference between going to a program that needs to be built and one that's already built.
Yeah.
What's the difference? So, man, you started really thinking about that. And even today I look back and I go, you know, there was some differences, but you still had to do, like Sam says, you got to do your own thing.
Yeah.
You got to do it. You know, Rush had done a great job there at Alma Bryant. It really turned that program into a powerhouse in 1 year.
Yeah.
But I still had to do things my way.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing was I'm going to listen to David Faulkner coming up here in a few minutes, who is one of our coaches, and some other guys on that. Todd Watson was on that staff. And say, guys, what did y'all do? Tell me how y'all did things.
There you go.
And let's talk about it. And then I have my input, but I want every one of those guys to have, you know, ownership in that deal. It's a little bit different scenario, but you still got to put your stamp on it.
And that's a great point because if you don't do that and you take a head coaching job at a place where they've been really good and now they're down a little, but there's still a lot of expectations. If you take that job and you don't succeed, you don't ever want to be a head coach again.
Right.
That's the difference in that. That's exactly right. That's a good point. Good point.
We'll have him coming up at the bottom of the hour. Then we'll have our leadership segment in the next hour. We continue talking high school football. We do it with one of our faves. He's the head football coach for the Bobcats of Theodore. Steve Mask is going to be on.
Yeah, Steve and I were talking yesterday, and the press made a big deal out of it. He got kind of
emotional.
Emotional.
Yeah.
He did. He got kind of emotional because he said that train's coming down the track. Remember that old show? What was that show?
I hear the
train to come.
That's a song.
That's a song.
Johnny Cash.
No, you're talking about
what's the, with
Hooterville. Hooterville. Yeah.
So Steve said, "I hear the train to come," and so and we're gonna challenge him on that. If he does do that, he's got to do it on our show.
Oh God, we're gonna get him to sing it.
Oh man.
Oh my goodness!
I tell you what, they broke the mold when Steve Mask was born and became a coach. And he does it his way.
There ain't no doubt.
He does it his way.
No doubt.
But he always has a way of keeping things in perspective.
Yeah.
Every time you talk to him, win, lose, or draw, doesn't matter, he's always kind of the same guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always really appreciated that. Anywhere I go, if I see Steve, man, he walks up, hugs me.
Yeah.
So, man, I may not have seen him in a year. You know, but that's the kind of person he is. And kids play for him. They love him. And, you know, he's tough, gives them that tough love. But, man, I tell you, I'd let my children play for Steve Mask.
In a heartbeat. And I think this, and I know we got a lot of people that think certain people are the best prospects around. I think he's got the best prospect around in J.J. Bush. I really do. J.J. Bush is something special. Already committed to Arkansas. Little secret. I bet you he ends up at either Alabama or Auburn because they ain't going to let this kid get out. He is special.
Yeah, I've noticed that Auburn's got a lot of slots to fill. Yeah. Alabama's still got 3 or 4 slots to fill.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. They got some commitments going out and all that kind of stuff, but it's like the guy at Alabama, Courtney Morgan, the general manager, he said, hey, it's not done. We got a great bunch. We had a great run in June and July, but it's not done until they sign their name on that dotted line. So we'll see in December.
You know, and then still it may not be done. You know, I mean, nowadays.
Right. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean that.
I did not mean to sign that. That was a mistake. That was a mistake. Of course, we'll wrap up the show. Mark will have our Camp Grace segment. All right, we take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk McGill Tulane football. We do that with Coach David Faulkner right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it.
And welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster, Coach Rick Cleveland, and guys, time to talk a little McGill Tulane football, and we do that with Coach David Faulkner, who is on our Bujo's Cajun Grill guest line. And Rick, always special to have Coach Faulkner on.
Yeah, and the first thing we want to do right now is like we talked about in the pregame, Randy, is want to let David know that, you know, McGill Tulane, all the faculty, the students, the athletic department, everybody, you are utmost in our thoughts and prayers as you go through this struggle that you guys have gone through during this most difficult time, David. And just know y'all are utmost in our thoughts and prayers, pal.
Well, Rick, we thank you. I appreciate you saying that. It's been a tough week for our young people and for the Glass family. And, you know, we definitely want everyone to keep them in their prayers and just continue to think of them as they go through the week.
You know, David, as this week has progressed, talk just a little bit about what all is going on with your players as far as trying to get ready for Daphne on the 22nd. I don't even know. Now, could y'all start this past week, or do you have to wait till this coming week to start?
No, we went through spring and then played spring games,
yeah.
So we can't officially begin till Monday. So we'll begin Monday, August 4th.
Now, is that enough time?
I don't know. I don't think you ever feel like you got enough time. But, you know, I think with all that you get to do in the summer and in the winter and now with the 2 hours a week for 10 weeks deal in the off season that you can do with your players, I don't know if it's enough time, but I know the kids are ready. The coaches are ready. So it can't get here soon enough, I know, in those terms.
You know, Coach, a lot of people, you know, forget about – we talk about all the time about all the things we do offensively and defensively. But as we start getting ready, like in the summertime and you get toward that first week, how do you start incorporating your special teams, which is going to be, you know, as you well know, is such a big, big part of close ball games always through the season – especially getting into the playoffs?
You know, I think, like you said, with as much time as you have now in terms of summer practice and those things, we start incorporating ours in spring ball and started, you know, at least if we don't work the full team or the full aspect of the special teams, we work some type of circuit or some type of skill development for special teams. So we've been at that for a little while, and then as we get into starting fall practice, you know, we'll try to take 20 to 30 minutes a day of the practice and make that special teams oriented. And like you said, it's so important, you know, in terms of the outcomes of the games. The special teams has a lot in determining that, and, you know, and nobody notices a kicker till you don't have one, you know. And
that's right.
then it becomes a big deal. So we try to let ours, you know, get started in spring ball, work through summer, and, you know, try to decide on who's going to do what in terms of punting, field goal, kickoff, those types of things. And then, you know, we try to play our best people on our special teams units. So because we feel like the value of special teams is it determines field position. and the value of field position is it determines who wins the game. So we'll really dive in those heavily starting on Monday.
We're talking to David Faulkner, the head football coach at McGill-Tulane. As a matter of fact, he was on Mark Leicester's staff at Alma Bryant, and this guy had an offensive mind even from his young days.
He absolutely did. He first year I was there at Alma Bryant, I was the OC and head coach after 1 year of being around David. I should have given him the job the first year. We'd have probably gone further in the playoffs.
Well, you know, David, I think one of the great things that I hear from players that play for you is the manner in which you are able to relate to your players, and that brings joy to a coach's heart when you hear players bragging about their coach. And I hear so much about that. Talk about player-coach relationships and how you manifest that into your program.
Well, you know, I went into coaching because of my coaches. You know, growing up, athletics was important to me. To be honest with you, if it wasn't ball at school, I don't know how much schooling I would have did. So I enjoyed, you know, athletics. It was a big part of my life. And in turn of that, my coaches were a big part of my life. And they made such an impact on me. You know, Joel Williams and Donnie Roch and Alan Baker and Jim Hart, who just passed away.
And those
guys, I could go on. Doug Prater, it just goes on and on. The men who just had a huge role in my life and impacted me. And I wanted to do something like that. I wanted to have an impact on young people and be able to have some kind of positive impact in their life. And I just thought, man, I get to hang around, you know, ball forever. I get to, you know, coach ball, and if I can't play no more, I can coach it, and then I get a chance to, you know, to really, in the best way that I can with the gift that the Lord has given me, to just to be around young people and impact them. And I think that's the biggest part of the game. We all love to win, and we're all competitive people. That's why we all got in a competitive field for our careers. But at the end of the day, the most important part is the young men that come through your program each and every year.
David, tell us a little bit about your football team. Tell us a little bit about going forward. You know, everybody's going to want to know what you got. What are you looking like, quarterback and offensive line? Tell us a little bit about your offense as we go into week one. I know you don't have any answers yet, but kind of going forward, you've already got kind of a little bit of a plan in your head.
Yeah, you're right. You know, we don't have any answers yet because we don't really know what the problems are yet, you know, until you start.
That's right.
Until you start playing other people. But we're really excited about our team. You know, like I said, I get the question all the time, how are you going to be? I think in year three, we should be improved in a lot of areas in terms of the way the program functions and operates. Obviously, losing Andrew Murchison at quarterback is a big deal. Andrew was, I would tell people all the time, me and Andrew got to where we would kind of finish each other's sentences. We were on the same page, and he knew exactly when I called a play or we were discussing something, he knew exactly how we wanted to do it. But we're going to fill that role with Blaine Boré, and I've been extremely impressed with Blaine and his attitude and his work ethic. And you know, and the one thing that Blaine is that, man, he's really athletic. So he brings some new skills to the table that, you know, that we may have to call the game a little bit differently or do some things differently to highlight his skill set. But real excited about him. And our kids trust him and our team trust him. And, you know, I think that when Blaine steps out there on the 22nd, our team's going to be real excited about him being out there. You said the offensive line, that's where we've got where we've really focused a lot of time and effort in the off season is trying to, you know, for the second year in a row, we lost four of the five up there. So, we're going to be young in terms of true playing experience up there. Cade Weimer comes back as our only starter. Bryce Ward played in there some. He played a good bit in there some. And Derek White played in there a good bit. So we've got three guys who have got some real game-like experience. But, you know, Alex Martin has had a great offseason and a great summer. So we feel like he's going to contribute in one of those five spots. And then two young guys at tackle with Lucas Tran and Cole Pottinger. So we'll be young as a tackle. So, you know, anytime you put sophomores out there, you get a little bit nervous. But those guys have really did a great job and have developed well over the offseason. So we're excited to see what they're going to do. You know, from the wideout spot, we feel like we've got some talented guys, and we return a bunch of guys there with Caden Thrash and Jack Linehan and Reed Watkins and James King, and then you throw in, you know, Barrett Porter, who will be new with us, and Jack Baldridge, and, you know, some of those guys, and Mark Anthony Cousins, and I'm going to leave somebody out. But, and then at the running back, we'll feel like that'll be our most talented spot with Ladarian Miller returning back as a 1,000-yard rusher, and Will Jackson.
Coach, we want to thank you for taking time to be with us. We're against a hard break here. Good luck. We'll stay in touch. I'm sure we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Coach.
You, David.
All right, there you
appreciate
go. Coach
you.
David Faulkner right there. Head football coach for McGill Tootle. We'll take a timeout. We'll talk UMS football with Sam Williams right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
I got to tell you, I wish I had a voice like that guy. That was pretty good right there.
Let me tell you, when you see him in person,
yeah,
and he's up there banging on that keyboard, and all of a sudden there comes that voice.
Because you went to see him, didn't you?
Oh, I've seen him about five or six times.
Oh, my goodness.
My pocket, but I'll go tell you that. But he is special. It's like John Forney when we were kids listening to John Forney call Alabama
Oh,
game.
My goodness.
Here it comes.
There's good stuff. Well,
Randy,
no
if
doubt.
You could sing like that, none of us would be sitting here.
That's
right
true.
Now.
No, we'd be playing golf every day.
Y'all would be my roadies.
We'd be your road.
La, 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 la. Well, okay. Keep working.
Yeah, we're not going you got anywhere. A little work to do there, guy.
Oh, my goodness. All right, hey, welcome back to Southern Fairways. We got a lot going on here. Hold on just a second. So, welcome back to the show as we get started here. Coach Sam Williams on with us, the first-year head coach at UMS Wright. And Rick, certainly happy to have him on the show today. And I know the UMS Wright fan base is certainly happy to have him as well.
Well, there's no doubt. And Sam is a guy who has been just blessed. And he's done it right, Mark. He started at two or three different places, built his way up, started small schools over in Mississippi, and just has done it so well and won big, played in the last four state championship games in 7A in Mississippi. That's pretty impressive. But when you watch him practice, it's different, Mark. It's a different way of doing things, and it's the new wave, and I'm really impressed with that. Coach, thank you for joining us this morning for just a few minutes. I know you got a big day planned today. Before we get into anything, tell us what all you got going on today at UMS Wright.
Well, you know, it's every head coach's favorite day today. It's picture day this morning, which I think is dear to everybody's heart because it's always ultra productive and organized and everything goes just as planned. So getting that knocked out right now, and then we're going to, you know, get out there, and it's kind of our first day that we've, you know, put on full gear, and don't do that very often, but we're going to get out there and move around a little bit and see if anybody make any plays.
Coach, talk just a little bit about, you just said something that's really important, I think. You don't get in full gear as much as we used to in the old days. Talk just a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I have kind of gotten where I believe that, you know, kind of your job in preseason, obviously, is to evaluate, develop, and, you know, give the kids the tools they need for the season to be successful. And, you know, week to week, you can add little bits here and there, but for the most part, you got what you got. And then, you know, a lot of in-season for me is about making the kids feel as good as they can feel on Friday nights. You know, how do you – practice physical, prepare the way you need to prepare, but also when 7 o'clock on Friday night hits, the kids feel as good as they felt all week.
So they got their legs under them, and Mark, when you watch this team practice, it's everybody's working all the time. There's very little dead time, Coach. And how did you come up with this practice idea that you have? Is it something that you did as a player, or is it something that you learned from other coaches, or is it just something that you sat down with your coaches, maybe at Brandon or wherever you were at the time, and discussed how to best facilitate the time for your players on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just been constantly adapting over time. Not necessarily, you know, didn't necessarily do it as a player or anything, but just, you know, hey, how do we – you know, I tell people all the time, production isn't time spent. Production is what you do with your time. And so we get out there and, you know, it's about, you know, the 4-minute periods has really increased production. You know, most people do 5-minute periods or have a time period on a, you know, for a length of time on individual group, teams, special teams, all that. So ours are 4-minute periods. It makes you coach a lot more efficient, not as much time for you to sit there and talk. And, you know, I think it's kind of the mentality of, you know, from a football perspective at practice is let the kids go out and play, let them go out and make mistakes and then teach in the classroom, and then let them go out there again and do it the next day and see if you can get those mistakes that you want to see corrected, because that's what a football game is. It's corrections between series, between quarters, between halves, and those kids have to learn how to do that.
You know, Coach, what you said right then was probably one of the most important things that I learned growing up in coaching was adjustments. Adjustments are so vital in how we do things. Tell our listening folks about when we say adjustments, what does that mean to, it could be your offensive line, it could be your secondary, it could be your quarterback pre-snap reads. Tell us a little bit about what adjustments you think are vital and how y'all go about doing it during a game itself.
Yeah, so, I mean, I tell our coaches all the time we want to be the best second-half team in the state. And what I mean by that is everybody, you know, if you have a good coaching staff, you're going to put a good game plan together based off what you see on film and what you think an opponent's going to do against you. But, you know, the great coaches, what they can do is once that plan starts taking shape in the game and you see what the defense or what the offense is actually trying to exploit with you, is you're able to counterpunch and you're able to make adjustments off of that to stop what they want to do. You know, football is a game where obviously at times you have to be reactive, but you want to be on the front foot and you want to be out in front and you want to be ready for the next move of the opponent. So, you know, whether that be changing personnel, getting in personnel that are better that week that maybe you didn't think, or maybe it's, you know, getting in and making really small tweaks and adjustments in the run game or in pass protection or on particular routes that you thought were going to be good that week, but maybe something's just a little different because they're playing a kid in a different leverage or in a different spot or something like that.
Yeah, we're talking with Sam Williams, the head football coach at UMS Wright. Coach, would you tell us a little bit about your coaching staff that you've got going there and some new faces at UMS Wright?
What'd you say now? I'm sorry, I missed you right there.
I'm sorry. No, I was wanting to know about your coaching staff and a little bit about, you could tell us a little bit about who you got on your staff.
Yeah, man, we've got a great staff. It's a really nice mix of youth and experience. You know, offensively, it's myself coaching quarterbacks, Coach Phil Lazenby, who's he's been coaching football since before I was born, so I learned something from him every day. Him and Coach Cade Caldwell are doing our offensive line. Bullet Jones, the legend around here, is still coaching running backs, and then Coach Reeves is doing the wideouts. And then defensively, Brett West is defense coordinator, came over from Sarah Land, doing a fantastic job. Really has our kids looking good. Russ Myers is coaching the inside linebackers and doing the special teams with Coach Wallace, who's doing the outside linebackers, came to us from Beauregard, was the assistant of the year last year in 5A. And then Coach Simon Smith, another familiar face to UMS, is coaching corners while Coach West does the safeties. And then Nelson Adams, who was my one, you know, bring with me from Brandon, coaching D-line and running our weight room strength conditioning program.
Well, Coach, I know you got a big day and you got a scrimmage coming up. And so thank you for taking some time out this morning. We look forward to talking to you down the line. And, boy, it's so great to have you on campus, pal. Appreciate everything you do.
Appreciate it, Rick. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you. Thank you, Coach.
You know, it's just, Randy, it's the new. It's the new, and it's different. And the thing that amazed me as I watched them in practice is it's so efficient. I mean, so efficient. There's nobody sitting still. Nobody's sitting idle. They're 4-minute periods. That buzzer goes off. They're moving. And they're not walking. They're not walking. It's a full sprint. And it's
almost collegiate.
It is. You're exactly right.
You think of an Alabama practice or an Auburn practice like that.
And every coach has got, you know, they're infiltrating in during their practice kickoffs, kickoff returns, while the quarterbacks are working on other things. They're working on maybe the speed option and attacking that outside shoulder, taking that little giddy up, as I call it, to kind of get around any pressure inside. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's such a neat way that everybody's practicing a certain element of the game at different times. And
Well, I tell you what, when he mentioned Phil Lazenby on his staff, he got a Hall of Fame coach helping with his offensive line. And, you know, Phil Lazenby is one of those people who, whenever he walks into the room, he brings a presence and knowledge of not just about – he's, firstly, the most humble guy you've ever been around.
Yeah.
But he comes in, and when he's going to help elevate your program immediately. And so that was a huge, great hire by UMS, in my opinion.
And, Mark, let me just say, you know, I did Bayside play-by-play for 15, 16 years, whatever it was, when Coach Lazenby got there. And to watch his coaching style, to watch how he can take – the littlest guy, the littlest team, and go out there and play the biggest team. It's like a David and Goliath in a lot of cases. We traveled a lot. We went to some far-off places.
We did.
Yeah. You know it. It was some long Friday nights. Okay?
Man, when y'all went to Gordo, that's still
– I think the worst one was going over to, what, to Daleville or over on
– Dale County.
Dale County over there. That was tough.
Daleville was a long one.
Yeah, but we went in there, and there's no way we're supposed to win. You look on paper, we're not even supposed to score, okay? And Bayside went in there and just flipped the script.
Yeah.
And he could take and get the best out of everybody out there. And I got to tell you, you know I'm a big fan. And I think you're right, has a Hall of Fame coach there. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch them this year.
Especially at that position. You know, he's got a young coach.
He loves coaching offensive line.
Absolutely loves it. I mean, he thrives on that.
He does.
And even though for a long time, you know, he was when he played at Old Howard College, now Samford. I mean, he was kind of a defensive guy.
Yeah, strong safety.
Yep. He played strong safety. So, but boy, when he gets to that offensive line, whew, boy, I'm telling you. And as an offensive line guy, you'd love to be with him.
Oh, yeah.
You do. You just love to be with him. So that is a big hire. And he brought a really fine coach with him from over in Brandon. Coach Wallace is I can't think of the coach's name from there, but he's a really, really good one. This Coach Wallace guy's a guy that came from Beauregard, was a 5A assistant coach of the year. He's got some really good ones, and Bullitt does everything.
The legend.
He does everything at UMS. He is a great assistant coach, and
Bullitt does a lot of work nobody else wants to do.
That's right.
I'm just telling you. He does a lot of work.
He loves that. I mean, he is in his groove right there.
Yeah.
He's in his lane.
Yeah.
He loves it. He does a good job. Kids love him. I mean, coaches love him because he'll do anything for you.
Yeah.
You know, if I needed something done, I'd call. If I need to call Bullitt, he'd say, "What you need, coach?" You know, just that mentality has carried over for all these years. And, you know, Terry put together a great staff while he was there too, you know, and over all those years. So coaches come in and got the same type group, and I'm just happy for them.
Let me just say at the beginning of that segment, we had some distractions. So we Omaha. All right.
People were actually in here working.
They were.
We're not used to that.
No.
All right. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, it's the leadership segment. Coach Cleveland's got that for you.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Mark Laster, and Coach Rick Cleveland, as it is now time for our leadership segment. And, Coach, take it away.
You know, Randy, and Mark, one of the things that coaches are going to have to deal with as we go forward, and my dad used to say, well, son, that's a $60 million question, and you're going to have to figure it out. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out some of those answers, and I don't think I ever got one right. But he always laid a foundation to make me think about things. We're fixing to face, and already face it, a major problem. And I want you to ascertain how you would handle this situation, because it's something that, like I said, we're going to have to deal with as we go forward in the future. I want you both to imagine you're a head football coach and you've got a young man who's played high school football for you for 4 years. This is senior year. He's really worked his way up to becoming a guy that can manage the football team on the field. He's not a great thrower. He's not a great runner. But he does everything that you need him to do, and he's got the team on his side. And all of a sudden, you have this five-star quarterback whose dad is not happy with the former head coach that he's playing for now because they've changed coaches and he wants him to play for, you know, in a system that's pretty well established. And he says, Coach, I want to bring my son here. He's being recruited by every conference in America. And now's the time, Mark and Randy, for you to answer that question. How do you deal with that situation? Because coaches every day are having to deal with that.
A lot of silence.
I'll let you go first.
A lot of silence after that one. You know, that's a – first of all, it's a problem. I can't ever remember running into that problem when I was coaching, but I know I've thought about it. We've had some people move in at different positions or whatever. But I think there's something you have to take into account for. First of all, a young man comes to your school who is tremendously talented, and he's got he has all the markings. You know, he has all the things that say I'm the guy. You know, and so he may be the guy. You don't. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but I know I've got what I got in this young man over here. I already know what I've got. How is it going to keep your? How do you keep your team together?
Right.
So first thing you do, I think, is you go out and you say, guys, we're going to compete this thing. And we're going to take it for over the next ever how many weeks. We're not going to make a decision because that kid walks in the door and he's got all these accolades doesn't mean squat.
Yeah.
He hadn't played a down for Bayside Academy or UMA. He hadn't played a down for me. I'm going to see what he's got. I'm going to watch how he interacts with the team.
Yeah.
I want to see how the kids on the team relate to him. And a lot of times, you know what I think will actually happen? I think the battle itself, if the kids are what you want in a quarterback, the kids who have the team first mentality, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to help my team win, those guys usually work the deal out themselves.
Yeah.
They normally do. And if the other guy, if the guy who comes in has got all the accolades, but he's also, you know, a team guy, sometimes they're hard to tell if they are because they've been moved because they're not happy in one place or another.
Yeah.
So you're not sure how that's going to – will that fracture your team?
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I'm going to talk to them about when they come is, look, we got a pretty good little bunch here. This group loves one another.
Yeah.
And they respect one. They may not. Well, a lot of times they don't like each other, but they respect
right.
one another.
Yeah.
And they'll play hard for each other because they respect the guy next to them. So are you going to be able to be that guy
yeah.
who can keep that mold intact? Because if you're not, I don't need you.
Yeah.
If you fracture our team, what's the point? I don't care if you're a five-star, eight-star. It doesn't make any difference. You fracture the team, we're going to lose.
Coach, I'm going to make it real simple, all right? I'm just going to use one word, ditto.
Yeah, and but there's a lot of other things that go into it. And I spent a lot of time thinking about this this week because I got a call from a coach up close to where you used to coach in North Alabama, and we were talking about this. You know, first thing, when he comes in, he's going to start at the very bottom of the depth chart. He's going to have to. That's what, because we've already been through spring. It's August. We're fixing to go out. We pretty well got it. He hadn't been here during any of our summer workouts. He's been at his old school. You're going to have to start there. But, and I want you to understand that. But you're going to have a chance to win the job by what you, exactly what you said. We're going to compete every day. But you've got to remember that kid who went through spring training, has been there for 4 years, really, he's earned the right to take that first snap in that first game. And we're going to compete for it. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to do whatever helps our team be the very best we can be. I don't think he can win that job in the 15 days. I don't think he can, but I think he can prove to the team that he's willing to do what it takes to be there the second or the third game. But I think as a head coach, we got to handle that very, very carefully because we can lose our team right off the bat if we stick that guy up there at number one and he becomes a starter.
You lose part of your team.
Well, you do. I think you lose the whole team.
You've got to better come in there with a mentality. Guys, we're going to get in here, and everybody's going to compete for a job.
Yeah. And we're using quarterback, but this is I can't tell you how often this is happening, not only in the United States, but right here in our area. We're having, and listen, I think all of us are all in on a legal transfer.
Absolutely.
Who can say or tell a family, say, well, we can't use him right now, when they're making a bona fide move, they're bringing all of their children in, they're going into that new school system, and their son happens to be an excellent football player. That is a bonus.
Sure it is.
That's a bonus. But where we're seeing problems is they're staying in the old community and they're coming back and forth. That's where our beef is. That's where the problem is. If you make a bona fide move and your son is a heck of a player, man, go for it. I mean, and coaches, we got to do everything we can to help that family be as comfortable as they can be. And we got to give that kid a shot. He's got to have every shot that every other kid's got if they come on a legal transfer. You know, as long as it's bona fide, then I'm good. So all these things are being played into effect. So it's going to get worse, guys. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And until we have something set in concrete and we're going to fix it at the state office level, then we're going to be faced with this. But, you know, I see it both ways, Mark. I do. Because when that guy comes in and he's had all of this publicity, it's going to be hard for him to go into that school. So we got to accept him. We got to give him every opportunity to win the game. But that kid that's been there for 4 years has earned that right to start that first game. I'm all for that. Yep. I really am.
First hour in the books. Boy, great to have Sam Williams on as well as David Faulkner. In the second hour, we'll have Steve Mask, head football coach for Theodore. He's up.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And welcome into the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report as we are live today. And guys, I got to tell you, I made a comment in that first segment of the first hour, and I got about four texts. People said, you absolutely nailed it, calling it the fat package guy.
Okay, man.
That's probably Doug Jones, Tripp, and all of that group.
They said you nailed it, okay?
That's good.
Yeah, just letting you know.
Well, if we find out those names, we're going to nail it. We'll find out.
Well, we are coming to you live from our Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai studios located right here in South Alabama. I am Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. We're talking high school football. Great to have David Faulkner in on the first hour, the head football coach for McGill-Tulane, Sam Williams, the new football coach for UMS Wright. And this hour we'll have Coach Steve Mask on, one of the faves, no doubt about it. Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and you know, we got to do this, and it's something that it's my fault. We got to work on this. We got to get Ann Schilling and those volleyball coaches here pretty quick, pretty soon, because, you know, we have had some phenomenal, phenomenal volleyball teams. And, you know, for example, Wing Brett goes in as a first-year coach at UMS Wright, wins the state championship. They were, you know, they were supposed to be good, a little bit better than average, but under his tutelage, they go in and win a state championship. And just keeps on keeping on, and she's having to play the mountains from the valleys. I mean, she's got great players, but they're not nearly enough to have to climb that mountain in 7A, but don't tell Ann that.
No, you don't tell Ann that. She's going to fight whatever obstacle comes in her way. And he goes, but I'm just telling you, this is what makes me sick about competitive balance.
Right.
I'm just telling you. It's just, to me, it's just not right. I mean, this team works tirelessly.
Yeah.
And they get better, and then they go. And now we're a 3A school population-wise. Yeah. Maybe, even if you took away the multiplier, we would probably be a 2A school.
Yeah.
And here's Ann, because of all the success she's had, she's playing in 7A competition. And because of that, stopped one of the longest consecutive state championships in the history of sports in the state of Alabama, maybe in the country.
It is in the country.
And stopped it because we're going to make this tougher for private schools. That's what we're going to do. And so I got a bad taste in my mouth about that. I don't like it. I don't think it's right. But, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. But you go in there and you have to live with it. But I think it's really, to me, it's kind of sad. But
we got to stop one, Mark. We either got to stop the multiplier or we got to stop competitive balance. I don't see competitive balance ever going away. But I do see competitive balance being applied to all schools and not just private schools. Because you know how many teams, the guy that just has won more girls' state basketball championship just left that job, and I'll think of the name in just a minute, way up in North Alabama. And he took the athletic director's job at Pope John Paul II School in Huntsville. But why are city schools who are doing more things in my mind, and data tells us that they are they're getting a lot more transfers than most people are.
And they will continue.
And continue to do that. And hopefully that's bona fide moves and everything's legal. Hopefully we're fixing to start finding that out. But if you're going to do competitive balance, do it all the way across the board. Drop the multiplier. Just drop it.
Drop something.
Yeah.
Something's got to go. Because this thing with competitive balance, to me, I just take our golf team. And we're okay. You know, we're playing 5A. We're a 3A school.
Yeah.
We're playing 5A. Well, we were state runner-up this year.
Yeah.
All right? So guess what?
You're going to 6A.
We're going to 6A.
Yep.
Not this coming spring, but the next year. We'll be in 6A. And, you know, and our kids, all we're going to do is just buckle up and keep going. We play everybody now anyway.
Yeah.
Every time we go to a tournament. But we go play teams that, you know, walk out. You take Mountain Brook in 6A, they're going to send one team one weekend to let's say the David Miller Invitational. The next week they're at the Patriot with a completely different team.
Yeah.
And it's not, and we do that at Bayside, but that's usually our guys who are not really, you know, even close to being ready or are not ready yet, or maybe a couple of them sprinkled in. But Mountain Brook's going to take a team that's going to contend for the championship of that tournament, which is a second-team team.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? There's a little difference there. Because the population of the students, they're going to have twice as many or three times as many boys in their school as we've got to draw from.
Absolutely, and that's what competitive balance has done to us.
Absolutely. So I'm not a proponent of it. I didn't like it when it came in. But if you're going to do it for everybody.
Yeah.
But eventually, you're going to have 7A's going to get top-heavy.
Yeah,
because the problem with getting competitive, to me, the biggest fallacy of it is how you get back to your own classification. You can't.
No, you can't.
Because you're going to go compete, and if you score 1 point on the ladder, if you score 1 point during the year, you stay where you are.
Right.
So Ann didn't win state, wasn't state runner up, but she made the final four, or made the whatever the final eight was. She made it, so she scored a point. So she'll stay in 7A, not only next year, but the 2 years after that.
Yeah, she won't get out.
No, she won't, because she's going to work hard to try to win that thing. But, you know, it all started. This thing originated, in my opinion, it originated because a lot of folks were thinking that private schools were cheating, going out recruiting, and there may have been some doing it. But, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It ain't just in private school. There are people going out recruiting kids from every school, and it's public schools, city schools, county schools. It's rampant. That's why we have a group now who is investigating transfers, and there's even been talk at the state meeting last week about transfers and Dragonfly and how you have to make it. There's a record of how they did it. And so, there's the reason for that. But why in the process do you penalize one set of schools in your state because they're private?
All your kids at Bayside want, all of our kids at UMS, all we ever wanted was to have a level playing field. That's all the kids asked for. Make it a level playing field where we can compete against those people that we should be competing against. Well, your golf team, it's not fair to your golf team to compete against a school that's got 1,400 kids, where you've got half of that.
Right.
It's just not fair. It's not. And there's no equity in that. There's none at all. There's no equity in it. So, and Randy, I know we've taken up probably about the whole segment.
I'm sorry, I got on a soapbox. But, that was my
you
fault.
You got a couple of minutes left here.
But, you know, when you begin talking about these subjects, and competitive balance is something that is – It's just not fair across
you know,
the board.
It seems to me, though, like in Ann Schilling in Bayside volleyball, 3A, it seemed like if you did go competitive, you couldn't go up more than maybe two more classifications. To go from a 3 to a classification of 7, that seems very extreme. I would think no more than 2 would be fair. Yeah.
So you'd want to cap it.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. Or at least have a way to get back. Because you're going to have a run every now and then when you've got a really good bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just good.
Yeah.
They all grew up in Bayside Academy or in UMS Wright or McGill Toolin. They grew up in that school.
Right.
And they have a really good bunch, and they do great. And so they graduate, and guess what? The kids below them, who are also Bayside kids, are going to get penalized to play in a different league.
And that's not right. It's not fair. And somewhere along the line, we've got to have enough administrators when they vote on these things that they can't just be concerned about what's going on at their particular school. They got to vote what's best for everybody. And, you know, we're having that problem across the state right now. And transfer portal, the members of that transfer portal, anytime you have a conundrum of men and women that get together, you're supposed to take action if they've set you up. Well, we can't. There's no action that can be taken there. Mm-hmm. The central board has to take that action. So the transfer portal, all they can do is make recommendations to the executive director and the central board. So that's where we are with that. Hopefully, and that portal meets again on August the 12th, which is what, next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully we get some more ideas out of that. But at the same time, you know, you're exactly right, Mark. when you start talking about competitive balance, let's make it level across all school systems, city, county, public, private, all together. That's where we are.
Couldn't agree with you more. All right, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we talk Theodore Bobcat football with Coach Steve Mask right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Laster, Coach Rick Cleveland. Time to go to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line and welcome in head football coach for the Bobcats of Theodore, one of our faves, Coach Steve Mask, on our line. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Well, we're doing good. I got to tell you, we were talking about you during the break, and Rick, you got a special, not only a special guest here, but another special guest that you were talking to as well.
Yeah, Steve, good morning, pal. Hope you're doing well.
Good morning, Rick. Doing well. Thank you, Rick.
We were sitting here, and all of a sudden, Jimmy Perry's name went across my screen. So I pushed it down to answer it, and he heard our whole segment talking about competitive balance and all of that. And we told him you were going to be on next, and he said, keep me on. I want to hear that. So we sent him the link on his text, on his messages, and hopefully he's listening in. But thank you for taking some time out on a Saturday morning when, man, this is leading up to the season, which you've looked forward to for a while, because you've said it before. We had an 8-2 team last year that went 5-5, and I know you've been chomping at the bit to get back on the field with that bunch.
Well, we have, and first of all, I hope Jimmy is listening. I hope he feels feeling really good today, and I know that he is in our prayers and everybody's prayers, and how much people across the state and the whole Southeast respect and love Jimmy Perry. And I do, especially, you know, we answer the phone every time we talk, my brother, and he is like a brother to me, so I hope he is listening. But we're ready to get started. It's hard to believe that 3 weeks from last night we'll be playing a football game. What's the old line, Rick? I can't remember what movie it was. I think it was, I can't recall. It was, says it's another one. You know, trying to find a win on Friday night and find it on Sunday, on Saturday morning. So, we're looking forward to playing. So.
Oh, boy.
Good morning, Steve. Good to hear your voice, buddy. How you been, pal?
Good, Mark. You doing okay?
Yeah, buddy. I'm doing great.
Good.
Hey, tell us a little bit about your football team, buddy, going into the fall. I mean, everybody's really chomping at the bit. You know, basically, summer's over. Football season's here. It's an exciting time. Tell us a little bit about your team.
Well, I think we got a chance to have a good team, but dang, more what scares me is everybody I talked to said they thought they got a chance to have a good team. So I think it's going to be the exciting thing here. But it's a team that I really like. I think we've got a lot of speed and a lot of togetherness, all the coach speak that you want to say. But I really think that's true with this bunch. You know, I think there's definitely some talent there on both sides of the ball, some returning talent. But it's been a fun group to be around this summer. That they worked hard, and the thing that impresses me about them is this, you know, obviously the magic word out there is it's hot, and everybody knows it's been hot. But this group has not complained one bit about it. They've just gone out and done what they're supposed to do, and I'm excited to see them play. I really am.
You know, when you talk about your football team, Steve, and it's a team that has got you got some really good players on that team, and a player that I think, in my personal opinion, a player that's been overlooked by so many people, and I know you're a team guy totally, but this kid is something special. If you watch him play basketball, you'll know how special he is. You're talking about J.J. Bush, and it's just a kid that, to me, can play anywhere on the field and be successful playing that position.
no disrespect to anybody, and I mean it sincerely, no disrespect to anybody in Mobile and Baldwin counties, but I think he's better in Mobile and Baldwin County. I mean, I really do. And that's saying, well, you're just being a homer. Well, yeah, I am being a homer. He's our guy. But I think from just the perspective of looking at it, I think he's the best prospect player in both counties. He's just so versatile. What do they call it, Mark, in baseball, a 5-2 player? Well, he's a 5-2 football player. He can play offense and defense. He can turn kicks, return punts, play quarterback. He can do all those things. And like one of our sisters and I were talking about that, you know, he's probably going to be the best tailback in Mobile if we want to play in there. And he said, Coach, he could probably be the best anything if we want to play in there in Mobile. He's just that good of a player. And Rick, what a great perspective from you. If you watch him play basketball, he goes and gets that ball. And he's just phenomenal with it, with his quickness and strength and everything. I just can't say enough superlatives about him. And on top of that, he's a really good kid, and the kids gravitate to him. So we're excited about him and a number of other players. Another kid that people are going to say, where did he come from, is Devon Young, that's committed to Mississippi State. And defensive lineman at 6'3", 6'4", 290, runs like a tight end, looks like a tight end. And I will be shocked if he don't blow up big time the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season. People say, well, where did he come from? We won't get over the action, but we've got good players on it. We've got good coaches, so I'm excited about the year.
You know, Steve, and I think, and Mark, you can relate to this because you guys had a player at Benjamin Russell who nobody knew about until they came and saw.
They were looking for another receiver we had, Derek Hall.
Yeah, they were looking at Derek, and who did they sign?
T.O. T.O., yeah.
So, and Chattanooga, he goes to Chattanooga and has a great career. But I think there's going to be a lot of people that get after Mr. Bush. It won't take long. It won't take long. He's a really good player. And I wouldn't be surprised. Steve, I'd bet a nickel that he's going to be playing defense for sure, but probably be playing a lot of offense as well.
Well, he's too good a player to sit on the sidelines and hold my hand while the offense is playing. You know, he's just, I can't. We can't play 95 snaps a game. The only kid I've seen do that in recent years, Mark, who was the kid at Fairhope that did that? He ended up playing at Florida State. He was so good. Played 110 snaps a game.
Nathan Andrews.
Andrews. He was one of those guys. That, and J.J. reminds me of him, but you just can't do it. It's not fair to the kid if you can avoid that. But he will definitely play, you know, 15 to 25 snaps a game on offense in the right times, in the right spacing, and those kind of things. So, yeah, I think you're right about that, Rick. I really do.
Well, as we go into this season, talk just a little bit about this. I mean, you 6A Region 1 is, not a break. There's not a break.
And I think, in a 9-team region, I think legitimately there's a chance for 7 teams to make the playoffs. And so you talk about 7 that have a chance to get in the playoffs, and that it tells you that you better get ready to play. You know, one thing it's done for me, it makes me sleep like a baby because I wake up every 2 hours and bawl my eyes out thinking about it. And so, it scares me to death. I mean, it really does. But you know what? They're on the schedule. You got to play, and to be successful, you got to win at least 5 or 6 games in the region to go. Last year we were 4-4 and got left out. You're going to have to win at least 5 or 6 to get into the playoffs. So it puts a superb premium on being ready to play for Friday night.
Boy, it's that region where everybody beats everybody.
I mean, it's almost a playoff game.
Every time you play. Yeah.
It really is. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, with that, then you throw in and open it up with Baker, who, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, you say, yeah, please get me Baker on the schedule. That's not the case anymore. They figured it out.
They're good.
And they've got a lot of talent. And then you throw Fairhope on top of that. And so, you know, we're talking about 10 games, like you're saying, Mark. There ain't no gimmies. So I showed up, go speak. You better play them one at a time. If not, try to look ahead. You'd be like we are last year, be sitting home you know, watch a cup of kangaroo on Saturday morning and still get ready for the playoffs. You know, ready for what?
Steve, I had to tell you this. I really got to tell you this. Captain Kangaroo passed away a long time ago. You missed that. You missed that.
And I watched him. Him and
Mr. Green.
Him and Mr. Green Jeans. And the Dancing Bear.
Dancing Bear.
A trivia question for you. Who was the sidekick, Mr. Green Jeans? Nobody out there.
Mr. Green Jeans.
That's pretty good. We got about a minute left here. Talk to us a little bit about heat and how you guys acclimate yourselves to heat during this time of year, because it's a bear.
Well, I go to cool out to cool off with them outside. I see what I do.
Buddy, we appreciate you.
We're doing the best we can with it.
All right, you call Jimmy right now, okay? He's waiting.
All right. All right, take care.
All
right, there you go.
Take care, buddy.
Coach Steve Mask right there, head football coach for the Bobcats of Theodore. He's a good one. There's no doubt.
Is.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, more of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Mark, we just gonna let that roll just a little bit.
Absolutely.
Just gotta let that roll. I mean, that's your song, isn't it? Coach, I mean, we're dedicating that to him, right?
Every Saturday. And you know, Tracy and I have been looking everywhere to try to find where Boss got. And he's gonna be in the South somewhere. We've already decided. We all going.
We all going.
Are we wearing our T-shirts?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I wear that sometimes down there.
Do you?
People say, is he alive?
Gosh.
I see.
Bob Skaggs is the man. There's no doubt. Man. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Press Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Mark Lassiter and Coach Rick Cleveland. And, Coach, you know, we're talking to Steve Mask a few moments ago. Just always fun to talk with him. All right. And you talked about J.J. Bush.
Yeah.
This kid's pretty special.
Yeah, he's big. He's really big, big time special. And, you know, and I really think, and I'm hoping that Alabama and Auburn just keep on pursuing him, even though he's verbal to Sam Pittman. How do you tell Sam Pittman no? I mean, Sam Pittman is.
Well, is Sam Pittman going to be there next year?
We hope he is. I mean, we hope he is because he's good for the conference.
He is.
But I don't want to see him. Yeah, he does. I don't want to see him come and get Alabama kids. I really don't. I mean, let's keep them in state, and I hope that continues. But JJ is a really good player. Of course, we just had news this week that Tank Jones, who many people consider one of the top linebackers in the country, not only in the state of Alabama, but in the country. He's going to Oregon.
2 years in a row, if I'm not mistaken, Oregon's come to the state of Alabama and got either our number one or number two prospect.
Yeah.
And taking them up there.
Well,
why?
Because Nike and Phil Knight.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, that's exactly what it is. And NIL is such a huge, huge, huge deal that and kids today, you're talking – now, let me tell you something. Tank comes from a really good family. His dad's one of the hardest working guys you'll ever meet. I would think that doesn't play as big a role with Tank as it does with some other people. But at the same time, you know, Nike can out – they can outbid anybody.
They can if they have to. I don't know. I hate to see the state of Alabama. I don't care if he went to Auburn or Alabama, either one. You know, I don't – but I hate to see him going all the way to Oregon. Do y'all have any idea how far that is away from any family?
It's as far as you can get to the West Coast.
Yeah. I mean, good
Lord.
But
let me ask you this. Now, did you start seeing Oregon recruit more over here since Bo Nix?
Well, I think Bo Nix was the genesis of it, but it's not Bo. It's the guy that coaches there now, and I can't think of his name right off the bat. But he was with Saban at Alabama, and give me his name. Let me find his name. He was an assistant with Saban, and what?
Dan Henning.
No, not Dan Henning. No, it's something else.
I can't remember.
No, but anyway, I think anytime they come in here and they've coached with Saban, they got, and you know, I think he's the best recruiter that has been around in many, many years. But these guys, they have connections here in this state. They have connections in this state, and as such, they're going to come in here and get some of these players. And when they see the top-rated players, he's one of them. They're going to do everything they can. Dan Lanning. You're close. Yeah, he's close. Yeah.
Wasn't he at Ole Miss?
No, he was at Georgia.
Georgia, that's right.
With Kirby. And Clay knows that doggone stuff. Clay said Dan Planning. No, Dan Lanning. Clay keeps up with all that stuff. So, but Bean the Browns right on top of it, too. He said Dan Henning. Henning was a pro coach. That's who he was. But, you know, how do you defeat going into a kid's house and offering him X amount of money and he can set himself up and his family up for life if it all comes to fruition? I don't know. And now they're putting a cap on it. We're going to cap it at $20 million. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to have to be real particular about
a cap in college football.
Well, they can still get around it. They can still get around it. I mean, you know, can maybe the school can only give $20 million, but how much can Nike give?
I don't know.
You know, that's.
But I hope he does well. Tank's a great kid. You know, from I remember watching him play in middle school ball. We played against him, and we don't play St. Paul's in varsity football, but I saw him in middle school.
Yeah,
and it was like, okay, we need to score a touchdown now. So they give him the ball, a touchdown. Then they put him back on the bench for a little while.
Well,
you know.
And we don't know that had anything to do with it.
No, I have no idea.
We have no idea. But I'm just saying, in general, I think Oregon's got a great chance to get any player in the country.
Well, they have a great recruiting amount of money to go recruit the country. And they have great facilities. And they have a lot of draw. But I'm telling you, we had a kid from Fairhope who went to Oregon. And played up there for a year. And he said, Coach, I loved it up here, loved all the stuff, but, man, that was a long way from home. Ended up coming back home.
Well, and we certainly don't want to indicate that Tank Jones' money had anything to do with it.
No.
That's not our intention.
It's hard to figure out how Oregon came down here 2 years in a row and got two of the top players in the state in 2 years in a row. And both of them. See, I thought the kid last year, I can't remember who it was, but I thought he was going to Auburn, and he ended up going to Oregon. I thought Tank was going to Alabama. That was kind of his lean. He grew up an Alabama fan, from what I understood.
Yeah.
So I thought he was going there. But, you know, he ends up in Oregon, and I hope it works out for him.
Oh, I do, too.
You know?
We all hope.
I hope it works out for him because, you know, that's a great representative of St. Paul's and Mobile, Alabama. It'd be great.
Well, and the thing to remember about commitments is a commitment – is not a signing. You know, he's still going to be recruited heavily. I can promise you Alabama's going to recruit him heavy. Kirby Smart's going to continue to recruit him. I'm sure Auburn will continue to recruit him. And they'll do everything they can to, you know, to switch him. But, you know, he's an outstanding high school player. He's got one of the finest men coaching him.
Absolutely,
and when you talk about a guy that, you know, just a fine man, his head coach is as good. Ham Barnett's as fine a man as there is in coaching high school football, and now he's going to be playing defense for a guy that I have the utmost respect for in Jay Cozio. David Stapleton's over there. They got a lot of really good coaches that are really good hearted men. So he's surrounded by great people, and so. My hope is that he does as well as any players we've ever had in our state go and play, and because he is an outstanding young man.
Coach, you know, you want to change the subject just a little bit. Super 7 in Mobile?
Yeah, Super 7 in Mobile is going to 4 days instead of three. One of the problems was we don't have enough dressing rooms at South Alabama to accommodate that many different games on a certain day. So, boy, that was a big alarm. So what we're going to do is we're going to play it.
It was waking me up.
We're going to go Tuesday through Saturday. Is it Wednesday?
Wednesday through Saturday.
Yeah, it has been Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. in Mobile, it's going to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to accommodate teams to have dressing rooms.
I think that's great.
I do, too. I think it's a great deal.
I think it's great. I like it because 4 days is just more than Super 7.
That's right.
I think that's one of the greatest times in high school football is that Super 7 week. You know, everybody getting ready and then getting play, you know. But the team that plays on Wednesday will probably always be the 7A team because they have that. Nobody. I mean, the guys who play on Thursday.
Yeah,
it's a little tough.
Yeah,
you know, you get a short week to play for a state championship.
Right.
I wish we were some else we could do it, but you can't. But that's fine. It's a great setup we have, and I think it's going to be. And have it Mobile.
Yeah,
that's going to be fabulous.
Boy, and you know, we really got to shout out to Danny Cordy and the job that he and his staff did to bring it here. And I think it's going to be a great venue to play at. I think it's a perfect size stadium to play the state championship game in. And so we'll see. That's in 26, not this coming year, but the following year we'll have the Super 7 here in Mobile. And so I think it's going to be a tremendous venue.
Be a great venue. You know, South Alabama is going to get a whole lot of folks.
There ain't no doubt.
You know, coming through their campus, looking at the stadium. That's a great thing for them, you know.
It is.
And I'm so happy for all of Mobile and South Alabama and Danny and his group. Man, just a wonderful thing they've done.
Rick, I'm sorry I forgot the kid's name that played at UMS that's playing for South Alabama.
Cole Blaylock.
Blaylock. How's he doing over there?
He's doing great. He's had some surgeries this summer. He'll be practicing with them as they start practice and have started practice. He's recovered from that. He's playing in the secondary. Just a tremendous, tremendous athlete. Could have played college baseball, but
great athlete.
He's just a tremendous athlete. He's really doing well. Robert Evans is the head football coach at Vestavia. Robert brought up a subject about this past week about we're changing the brackets as far as 7A football is concerned. And when you look at the brackets this past year, Region 2 and Region 3 played for a state championship. That would be Thompson and Central Phoenix City. This coming year, those two regions are going to meet in the first round.
Mm.
So, you know, Fairhope's a beneficiary of that. You know, Fairhope's been having to play that Auburn region every year. Now they're going to Huntsville. They're going to be playing the Huntsville region. I think that's good for Tim Carter and Fairhope, but I don't know if that's a good thing, putting at Auburn, Opelika, Central Phoenix City, Enterprise, Dothan, all of those in there and playing Thompson,
Hoover, Hewitt Trussville, Vestavia.
Yeah, that's you're getting state championship teams right in the first round.
But it does, you know, it's bad for one, good for another.
Yep.
Helps some of those teams who go over there and get beat every year in the first round. Now they get a chance to play through and see if they can get somebody new. Because we've said this before, we would really like to see somebody new in the state championship 7A game.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, we would. But at the same time, if I'm the coach at Thompson or Hoover or Phoenix City, I don't really care for that change.
Yeah.
Because I would rather not play Phoenix City in the quarters or the first round.
First round.
You know? Yeah. I'd rather, if we're going to play them, I'd play them in the state championship. But at the same time, we hadn't seen a team from Huntsville in the state championship game since when?
We hadn't seen a team from Huntsville win a first-round game.
In a while.
In a long time.
And it may not win one now.
May not.
I don't know.
That's right.
I mean, it's hard to tell, but.
Well, Fairhope's in the same place. Yeah. Fairhope hadn't won a first-round game.
Not in a few years.
Not in 10 years. Mm-mm. Hadn't done it. So, and that's unusual because for so long, Fairhope was a juggernaut.
Yep.
You know that. And so we'll see. We'll see how that plays out.
Hey, Coach, let me do a little promoting here.
Yeah.
Do it.
Southern Fairway's coming up right after this show. Got a great lineup for you. Bobby Hall, Matt Brandt, Bina Brown.
What?
And then we're going to Golf Channel's Blair O'Neill.
Good gracious.
Is going to be.
Man, what a lineup.
Hey, if you have a car wreck, go to Premier Collision. 1177 Slash Drive.
Wow.
251-478-4500. Chris, Kim, or
Tyler.
Yeah. Go see him.
Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Cam Gray segment up next.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
This morning on Grace segment, I wanted to talk about it's my one of my favorite Bible verses. It's in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 40:31. But it tells a little story, and I want to kind of give you the context for it. The Israelites, who were in exile in Babylon at this time, they were experiencing hardship and questioning God's power and faithfulness. This chapter 40 promises and tells us about God's enduring love and his promise of restoration. 40:31 in particular offers a special promise of strength and renewal to those who trust in God during difficult times. So I wanted to use the situation of the Israelites being in exile in a foreign country. Things were really going bad. They had felt like they had no hope. A lot of times in my life, I have gotten myself in those situations to where I felt like I was exiled into a land that I did not call my own, or in a place I didn't feel like I was home, or I just didn't have any way to ground myself, or a way to feel like that I was moving forward in any way, shape, or form, and I couldn't figure out how to get myself out of it. The verse itself says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When I hear that and I think about the times in my life where I've gotten myself into a foreign area or into a wilderness where I can't get out, where troubles surround me everywhere I go, and I'm feeling helpless, and I feel I can't get through this kind of thing for whatever the problem may be. And every one of us on this planet is going to face this sooner or later in your life. You're going to find yourself in a situation where you feel hopelessness. You feel like there's no chance. There's no way you're going to get out of the situation that you're in. But if you really just wait on God to kind of help you, take you through it, he will restore that faith, and he will help you to mount up with the wings as eagles and fly and soar above the problem and get your way out of it. That's why every time I see an eagle, I don't know about y'all, I love to watch eagles in flight. I like to just watch them in the wild and watch them go about their life. But when they take flight and they soar, it reminds me of God's truth he gave to all of us.
Amen.
That if we put our faith in him when we're in Babylon, when we're in the wilderness, and we have no hope, and if we look skyward and we see the eagle soaring, we know we have a chance to make it, because that's God's promise to us. And as we go into this football season with kids in situations where they feel like, I'm not going to beat the guy out in front of me, or coaches who feel like, well, I can't get our team to the point I want to get. If we will wait upon the Lord, he will restore our faith.
And Mark, you know, when you talk about the obstacles that, and we're talking coaching right now, when you talk about obstacles, how many team members you got Bayside right now on roster?
40.
Got 40. That's 40 children that go home after y'all have put up just the human fatherly look on their face. I mean, that's what you do every day. They go home. We don't know what they go home to unless we take them home, unless we visit their parents,
right.
Unless we do. And a lot of coaches do that. And that's something we used to do in the older days.
Oh,
yeah. You know, we knew every family. We'd go in their house. I can't tell you how many times in Birmingham, Alabama, I'd go into Park City and eat supper with those families. And it would be a mom and a grandmama sometimes. Sometimes it'd be a daddy and a grandmama. But I knew. I knew where James Taylor, where he lived. I knew what his family life was like. We don't do that today. We don't do that today. It's a changing world. And so the mark that you leave on those children every day, you coaches have just such a tremendous, tremendous amount of responsibility to know and to put into those children every ounce of who you are spiritually, mentally, physically, every way we can to put into those children. And that's what I miss. You'll miss it. You'll miss it when you retire. When you retire, what you're going to miss is putting those aspects of life into those children, just like God puts into yours every single day you go on that field. And with Landon, see, you get an opportunity to see your son do the same thing. But it's such a responsibility that we have as coaches. We ask you now to remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we hope to see and hear you same place, same time, next Saturday.